This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and I trust the program encourages you and challenges you, and I trust that it instructs you and blesses you as well. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. There's also other information that you might find helpful there. But you can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, last time we took up the biography, so to speak, of Judas, the one man who has impressed me over the years, one man that I really don't understand, because as we saw last time, he had all of the privileges of the other apostles, and yet for some reason his heart was black, and he betrayed the Lord and ultimately destroyed himself. And he's one that we hope you'll never pattern your life after, a betrayer of the Lord. But we want to look today at one of the more influential apostles that we have in the New Testament. We want to look at the Apostle Paul. He was not one of the original 12 that had been called by the Lord. He was not even the one that the 11 who were left chose to replace Judas after Judas had betrayed the Lord and committed suicide. But we find he was an apostle that had been chosen by the Lord to reach out by the Gentiles. He had two names. He was called Saul and he was called Paul. We read that in Acts 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. And this has to do with the story of him casting out a demon or a familiar spirit out of an individual. But I'm reading this primarily so you can see that both names were used of this same person. And some have thought that Paul was the name given to Saul after he was saved on the Damascus Road. And obviously the incident on the Damascus Road was life-changing. But nevertheless, I do not believe that his name was changed. I just believe Paul was the Gentile or Roman name, and Saul was his Jewish name. And so because he's the apostle to the Gentiles, the name Paul becomes more prominent in the stories that we read or the accounts that we read of this man. So I just want to again emphasize that he was an apostle to the Gentiles. He tells us that in Romans chapter 11. An apostle, as I understand it, is one who is sent. He's one who's commissioned, and Paul was commissioned. He says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry." That was found in Romans 11, verse 13. But when we look at him, he had quite a good background for the mission that the Lord had chosen him for, because he was not only a good Jew from the standpoint of being a good Pharisee, but he was also raised in the Roman world, so he had a Roman citizenship and knew that culture as well. So in Philippians 3, when he's writing to the Philippians, he says that he had turned his back on everything that he had, in fact, thought was important when he was training to be one of the chief honchos in the Pharisaic tradition. He says, "I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee." And so he also says in Acts 22, when he's talking to the Jews, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia," which made him a Roman citizen, "but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our fathers, law and was zealous toward God as you all are today. So he not only was a Hebrew by birth, and that when he talks about being a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he was not only a Hebrew by birth, but he was a Hebrew by religion. There's many Jews who have a Jewish lineage, and they can trace their lineage back to their Jewish history, their Jewish forefathers. But they are secular Jews. They haven't embraced the Jewish religion. But Paul had done both. He was a Hebrew by lineage of the tribe of Benjamin, and he was a Hebrew by the way in which he had embraced the Jewish religion. And so he'd been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, who would be like finding the best theological teacher of the Christian religion and being brought up under his teaching. And so he was taught according to the strictness of our father's law and was zealous toward God as you all are today. Which means that really I've always suspected that he was probably present on the feast days as a Jew that was brought up in the strictest, using the strictest guidelines of the Jewish religion. He would have wanted to have celebrated the feast days, and particularly those three feast days where people were supposed to go to Jerusalem, the Passover and the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. And so likely he was in Jerusalem on feast days and likely would have heard the Lord teach in the temple. He very well could have seen the crucifixion. This was during the week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover was part of that week. So he likely was in Jerusalem when the Lord was crucified. But it doesn't appear that he was ever moved about what was happening to the Lord until he saw Stephen get martyred in Acts chapter 7. If I can't prove he saw the crucifixion of the Lord, which would have been a terrible thing to see, but I think he did. But what he really saw was the difference between the attitude of the followers of the Lord and his attitude. He was out trying to destroy those who were of this way. And that's why he met the Lord on the Damascus Road. He was going to Damascus in order to take captive those people who claimed to be Christians. And he was going to deliver them to the people and to the scribes and Pharisees in Jerusalem. They would have been imprisoned, and in some cases they would have been murdered, or they would have lost their lives. The people would have said they would have been martyred anyway. And so when he looks at Stephen, though, Stephen is being unjustly dealt with by the Jewish mob, and Stephen has clearly proclaimed the background of the Jewish people and has shown how that they have constantly turned away from the Lord who redeemed them out of Egypt. And he's explained that they were a stiff-necked and uncircumcised people, very plain, speaking to people who were about to stone him. And when they stoned him, instead of calling down the wrath of God on them like James or John might have wanted to do before they understood the truth of the gospel as it was being presented by the Lord, instead of showing that kind of Jewish attitude, Stephen had said in Acts chapter 7, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And it reminds us of what the Lord said when he was crucified. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This was not the attitude of a Jew. And this seemed to be bothering Paul, who at that time was being called Saul. This seemed to bother him. And so on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, when he got this vision of the Lord, I would have called it an epiphany, but it was probably more than an epiphany. He probably saw the Lord himself in all of his glory. When he saw that, the Lord said to him, "It is hard for you to kick against the pricks or against the goads." In other words, your conscience is bothering you. And it was true that he had been convicted, and I would say it was conviction by the Holy Spirit from the teaching we have in the upper room ministry. He was convicted by the Holy Spirit that what he was doing was wrong. And when he met the Lord, he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord says, "I am am Jesus. And this was the one he was persecuting. I am Jesus, and whom thou persecutest. And so this changed Paul, and he ended up ultimately being told by a man by the name of Ananias that he was a chosen vessel to go to the Gentiles, and he fulfilled that ministry. He got baptized to proclaim that he was a changed man. I think it says in Acts 22 that he got baptized to wash away his sins, and that wasn't in order to be saved. That was in order to publicly demonstrate that he was no longer doing the things he once did. He was trying to cleanse himself from all of that stuff that the Jews were trying to do in persecuting the Christians. He was a changed man. He washed away his sins by publicly turning away from this business of trying to martyr or incarcerate Jewish Christians. So he went on three missionary journeys, maybe four if he got to Spain, but he went on three that we know of. And when we come to Acts 16, we won't go into that. He went to the west and not to the east. He was restricted by the Holy Spirit from going to the east. And because he went west, we have ourselves been the beneficiaries of his preaching and his teaching ever since. He wrote 13 epistles. Some include Hebrews as his epistle, which would be 14, but we don't know that he actually wrote Hebrews. He wrote some of the epistles or the letters to churches. He wrote some to individuals, when we look at Titus and 1st and 2nd Timothy and Philemon. He also had his writings considered to be holy writings by Peter. And there's a lot of people that question Paul's writings, but Peter says, if we go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So his beloved brother Paul, if you read the whole thing, had been speaking of salvation, and even though he spoke of some things that were hard for us to understand, and if it was hard for Peter to understand it, then there's no doubt that we're going to have some trouble understanding it. But Peter says they wrestle with his writings as they do the rest of the scriptures. So remember that what Paul wrote was inspired, and it was not only inspired, it was scripture. And so he wrote some of his epistles from prison. Colossians, Philemon, Ephesians, Philippians, they were written from the prisons. What did he really have as his message? Well, his message I want to close with is in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he preached that simple gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He says he was the chiefest of sinners, but that's what the Lord Jesus came to do. And then after he was saved, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so that's the pattern of Scripture. It's the pattern of Paul's life. First, he had this salvation where he turned from persecuting the Lord and the Lord's followers to believing in him, and then he began to preach him and to show others that the blessing was found in the Messiah who had fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I hope you know that he has come to save you, and you have trusted him as your Savior. Our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson today and bless those who are listening as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.